Grace and peace to you from the only one who can give it, from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit and word and sacrament. God bless us as we meditate on Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 13, the second lesson you heard before. Let's pray. Lord, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. May our whole body, soul, and spirit be kept blameless until your coming. You are faithful, O Lord. In you we hope. Amen. In the name of the author and perfecter of our faith, dear fellow runners in the school of God's grace, warning, this sermon may get you tired. It's all about running. I have not run like this in many years, except in my dreams. Physically, most of us can't. But there are lessons to be learned in the physical fact of running. And Paul the Apostle, or whoever the writer here was, maybe Apollos, we don't know. But they were all about the Olympics, and they knew what was going on in the world of sports. Many analogies in Scripture from sports. Spiritually, though, we're all in this race. A life and death race for life in time and eternity. Life which is the enjoyment of God's blessings. Only God can give that, and he does it today with this command, this encouragement and exhortation. He says, run to win. Run to win. First word, therefore. We're told to always ask what it's there for. Another way to say it, I could say, well, what comes before Hebrews chapter 12? And the little kids could answer, Hebrews 11. Good math, kids. Way to go. What's Hebrews 11? Some of the older kids could tell you. That's the great heroes of faith chapter. They learned it in Sunday school and at home from faithful parents, hearing God's word and overflowing with God's word and reminding them of sermons like last Sunday and what we've heard. Overflowing with skill and wisdom from God to be planted in little hearts in Sunday school so that they in turn could grow up and tell others. And I still remember lessons from Sunday school sitting at teachers' feet too. What blessings. Therefore, yes, heroes of faith, chapter 11, therefore, when you feel as if you are surrounded by a cloud of troubles, Holy Spirit says, no, 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 no. Look again. Heroes of faith like Abraham in last Sunday's sermon. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses who never saw it come true, never owned the land they walked on, it was all the hope of heaven. Therefore, let us get rid of every burden and the sin that so easily ensnares us, and let us run with patient endurance the race that is laid out for us. You can't imagine somebody ready to run a race and picking up a bunch of rocks and loading their pockets down with rocks. That's dumb. Uh-huh. That's sin. That's the way sin burdens us and weighs us down with guilt. And it's such a blessing to be able to come to God's house and confess it together and get rid of it. Nobody knows but God what those sins were, and we don't even have to look exactly at all of them in ourselves. But we know that there has been disrespect there for our parents, for our teachers, for friends, for our husband maybe. There has been lovelessness and selfishness there for our family, our friends, for our wife, perhaps. God knows all of it, more than he makes us ever look at. And when we confess our sins together, it's just an open confession, pleading guilt of all sin. And God says, when the pastor says the words in Jesus' name and on behalf of the congregation, it counts in heaven too. As surely as if Jesus stood here himself and said to you, your sins are forgiven. They're forgiven with God. And now we forgive them with each other. That's what it takes to get rid of the weight and the burden. Empty our pockets and our hearts and our guilty conscience of all that weight and run with patient endurance the race that he laid out for us. He laid it out so that we could then follow. One of my favorite memories from Phi Ed was the times when we got to run cross country through that coastal forest, the giant Douglas fir with the canopy that wouldn't let the sun through, and the pine needles so deep and spongy under your feet, you would just forget that you were even tired. It was just fun to run. Somewhere along the line, you kind of watched and looked around because none of us ever ran back in those woods alone. You always made sure the teacher was in view. The teacher that knew the trail, where to go, and what dangers were ahead. We never run alone. We can't run alone. Run to win means let us keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. He's the author of our faith. And when you're feeling weak in your faith, tell the Lord, Lord, this was your idea. I didn't think of becoming a Christian. You called me. There's comfort in that. It's all about him who makes it all about you and is just abiding love. He doesn't just get you started as the author of faith. He perfects your faith by literally bringing it to its goal. And as you and I run to win, we have to keep that goal in mind. You don't flail and flop about. You don't trip over lines like one runner in high school saw the line on the track and he tripped over it and laughed, but cost him the race. You keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. He's the author, the perfecter that brings you the goal. In view of the joy set before him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of God's throne. You think about what Jesus went through. That's midweek services during, you know, winter into spring, the Lenten services, and we look at that in detail, but he went through all that with you in mind, knowing you personally, thinking about you. And not just how he would finally get through it. When he said it is finished, it wasn't like, oh, that's finally over. He was saying it is finished for you. It was that joy of being able to welcome you with open arms into his grace and mercy as you come to worship. Your sins are forgiven. You are guilt-free. And to welcome you home to heaven when that day comes for you individually or for the whole world on Judgment Day, on Jesus' Day. He wants to welcome us. That is his joy. More rejoicing in heaven in the presence of the angel over one sinner who repents. That's God rejoicing. And his joy is our strength. So keep your eyes fixed on him, the author and perfecter of our faith. Carefully consider him who endured such hostility against himself from sinful people so that you do not grow weary and lose heart. You think God knows what you're going through? How hard it is just to get up some days and then how hard even to go to sleep at night? He knows. Day by day, he knows. And so he calls us out of our weariness to endure with him, to run, because he's first of all giving us perseverance. Perseverance that starts at home as we have parents and teachers in Sunday school that teach us. That verse is so beautiful. Bless the house where faith you find, where all within have set their mind to trust their God and serve him still and do in all his holy will. So many meals neglected now for families together, but if just that first one, to get together for a moment of physical nutrition before everybody runs out the door, oh, this would take a little perseverance to bring that about, some discipline in the family, wouldn't it? But then maybe just one verse that everybody could hear and think about and pray about for the day. Those family devotions are so vital. If you're blessed to have your children in a Lutheran school with faithful teachers, thank God for it. But you know, what they really need is faith spoken at home. And when you drive along the road and wherever you go, what they really need is how this integrates in your life when you're watching movies or listening to music. How does this apply? We learn that perseverance as we keep our eyes on Jesus. And he guides and directs us through weary hearts and parents, leading a good example, always looking to Jesus when your heart is weary and disturbed. You may be surprised how often your own children will see you feeling that way and say, Daddy, I love you. Mommy, Jesus loves you. It's amazing when those seeds that are sown come back in the fruit of the Spirit. Persevere. Endure. That's what Christ did as he kept his eyes on heaven. There's perseverance and there's discipline when we run to win. So coming back home from Oregon, there were some businessmen about the age of my son in their, you know, suits and so forth, and no tie. They were all there, and we were talking, and I just threw it out there since they were, said they were from Oregon. I said, does the name Steve Prefontaine mean anything to you? And they looked at each other slyly and smiled and then said, never heard of him. So the one unbuttons his dress shirt and he opens it and it says Prefontaine right across his t-shirt. Oh, it's my favorite t-shirt. Nice to know somebody remembers. That name was in the news when I was in grade school in our hometown of Coos Bay, Oregon. Because in high school, he was setting one record after the other, Steve Prefontaine. I remember my dad telling me when he broke the five-minute mile. It was another minute or so when he got to the records and so forth. He ended up running for Oregon State, was on his way through trials and track meets and setting one world record after another, getting ready for the 1976 Olympics when he died in a car accident May 30th, 1975. Tragic story. But he had these quotes that people even still remember. If I don't do my best, I betray the gift, or something like that. I should have written that quote down. He said it better. But this idea of having a gift and always trying your best, running to win, that's the way he was trained. There's movies made about him, and that's, I think, where most of the story came for me. But some recruiters come, maybe from the University of Oregon. They're trying to get him to come and run for their school. And it's just pouring rain 8 days out of 10 on the Oregon coast. And so he's getting ready to run. They want to talk to him. If you want to talk to me, you run too. He took them off into the woods, and they had to run along with this, you know, world-class distance runner in order to interview him. I think he ended up going to school there. Another scene in the movie, his coach really wanted him to run to win. So the coach is in the backyard of the coach's house, and he's got his wife's old waffle iron out there. Yeah, my wife didn't like the smell in the house. He's pouring more rubber on the waffle iron. See why he was outside? He was inventing a shoe that would be light enough to get rid of the burdens and the weight so that his champion runner could run without that weight on his feet and have that advantage. Waffle shoes. He eventually sold the patent. And the company name he named after a Greek word, Nike. Romans chapter 8. In all these things, we are more than conquerors, super Nike, through him who loved us. See where the perseverance comes from if you know the name? Yeah, Nike keeps saying, just do it. Nike, just do it. The wisdom of the Lord also tells you when you should not do it. We need both. And these coaches that hold your feet to the fire, so to speak, and work with you, or choir directors, the ones that have that strict, loving, firm discipline. You know, we get to complaining. I think Christians in America today are just whining too much, because here the Lord says to Jewish Christians really suffering persecution, he says, you have not resisted to the point of shedding your blood. None of us have that I know of either. In your fight against sin. Have you forgotten the encouragement that addresses you as sons? All equal status under our loving God. My son, do not regard the Lord's discipline lightly, and do not become weary of his correction. For the Lord disciplines the one whom he loves, and he corrects every son he accepts. Elderly member from New Life was just struggling to be in a care center when her husband was having to come to visit her. He had health problems and she was, nothing I said was getting through. until this devotion. Once she was reminded that it's the Lord's discipline, that just takes away so much grief and so much weariness. Okay, there's a purpose behind this. There's a reason why I'm in this situation at this particular time. I can run with perseverance. I can run with discipline. Because my eyes are on Jesus and on my Heavenly Father. The Lord disciplines the one whom He loves. He corrects every son He accepts. The word there is scourges. It's a whipping. It feels like it sometimes. But endure suffering is discipline. God is disciplining you as sons. We know that discipline. We have to have it in our daily lives, and we have to have it growing up. And that firm, loving, consistent discipline, those are the teachers that you remember, the coaches, the choir directors. There's a harvest of righteousness and peace that finally comes out for those. God disciplines us for our good so that we may have a share in His holiness. Years ago, there was a choir that toured the Midwest from the Ukrainian Lutheran Church. I wish I could have heard them. One of our members told me about this. Because American choirs, you know, they struggle. They kind of tend to waffle on that first note. The way I heard the story, the Ukrainian Lutherans, every concert, everybody's sitting there ready to listen, the director's hands come up, total silence. And precisely when he came down, it was everybody full bore on that one note. And the man telling me this had to impress this on me. They weren't singing other notes. No, they were not singing quietly. They were just right on it. That takes discipline. But it's the way the Lord wants us to all be responding with the same voice and the same heart, clear in His Word, understanding in the knowledge, but the wisdom we talked about in Bible class, to be able to respond and rightly apply what we hear to real life so others around us can also run with perseverance, the race marked out for them. And you are God's gift to them. When you know that discipline in your own life, you share it with your children, fathers in particular. It's primarily our responsibility. Do not leave that for your wife and the mother of your children. We don't abdicate. That is our responsibility. Thank God for mothers that can be strict at times too. But it's primarily said to the fathers. That's a responsibility. No discipline, he says, seems pleasant at the time. It's painful. Later, it yields a peaceful harvest of righteousness for those who have been trained by it. There is training involved. The Lord who authored our faith also continues to protect our faith, but He's the one who's leading and guiding us along the way, and He wants us to keep our feet in line. So on that trail through the woods, there was a place where the trail had to cross a creek bed. I don't remember water in it, but it was fairly deep. I don't remember anybody ever falling off either. But it was a large log, and you had to keep one foot in front of the other and keep your balance to get across. How many of those do you come to in your life when you're weary and you're worn, and then you come to something like that and you think, oh man, what next? And there it is. What are you going to do? If you keep Christ in view, instead of a log, you're looking at the cross of your Lord Jesus laid across whatever that ravine is in your life where it's time to get across there now. And you don't have to try to find your way by yourself with your eyes on Jesus, your leader. He's always going to be there to come and take you by the hand and lead you across step by step. Don't worry, I'm here. I got this night and day. You're never alone. If you're blind and it's dark and you can't see the bridge, He's still there. And He sees everything because He never slumbers or sleeps. He takes you across and leads you step by step. So He says we need this perseverance, and we need the discipline, and we need the strength. He says, therefore, strengthen your weak hands and feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather healed. He's using medical terms here. It's too easy as Christians when we see other people struggling, we just end up piling on. Husbands and wives do this, and kids can do this to each other. You know, like chickens in a farmyard where they're pecking at each other, and it's just dreadful. He says, strengthen the weak knees, strengthen those that are down, lift them up. Find some way to sympathize, empathize with people, and don't argue about who's suffering worse, because nobody ever actually wins that argument. But at least be there to understand and lead them to the Savior who alone can help. Because the day is going to come, keeping our eyes focused on Jesus and running to win. The day is going to come when you can look back, when at the very least you're going to have more life in your rearview mirror than there is ahead, and someday looking back totally on your life, being able to know fully as you are fully known. And there are going to be times you'll look back and you remember you were especially weak at a certain point. You remember that story about the man who looked back and said, Lord, Lord, where were you when I needed you? You said you'd be with me always, and there's only one set of footprints in the sand. Remember that? Oh, my child, I was there. That's when you were too weak and weary. Those are my footprints. I picked you up and carried you. Ah, Lord, with that perseverance, with your strength, with your discipline, lead on, Jesus. We'll run. Amen.